Welcome back to Nachiyomi. We are now attempting to learn the 10th chapter, the 10th perek of Sefer Shoftim. As opposed to many of the previous prakim, this is actually a pretty short perek, very little commentary on it, so it's going to go pretty fast. This perek is a sort of telescoping of history where we discover the following history of the Shoftim that come after Avimelech. After Avimelech is killed, we have this very, very quick staccato description of history. So immediately after him is the person who gets up to lead Israel is a man by the name of Tola ben Pu'ah. He is a man of the tribe of Yisachar. It's the first leader we have from the tribe of Yisachar. He lives in a place called Shamir, and he judges for 23 years and dies and is buried in his hometown. It's interesting to note, in general, in this section, 40 is a description of years of completeness, like Devorah, like Osniel. When we had Ehud, he was 80 years. When we're starting to see the 20s and 23s, it's an indication of lesser leadership, lesser longevity in this in the same role. The next person to get up is a person by the name of Ya'ir HaGiladi, and he judges Israel for 22 years. He has, apparently 30 children, riding these steeds, and he called this the area Chavos Ya'ir in the area of Gilad, which is on Transjordan East Bank. And he dies in the place called Komon. There's a debate in the Mepharshim if this is really the same Ya'ir we meet at the end of Parshas Matos, who's a child of Menashe. If it would be, we're talking about a really long time that he lived. The Radak does entertain that possibility, and the idea that the Chavos Ya'ir were already created in the biblical times, in the times of the Torah, and they were just describing it later on as he continued to lead. Whereas the Malbim says, no, this is a second Ya'ir. This is a guy who was named after Ya'ir ben Menashe. He happened to conquer the same cities and call him Chavos Ya'ir because that was the legacy he was leading up to. Nonetheless, that is our Shofet. Two very lesser-known Shoftim, Tola ben Pu'ah and Ya'ir HaGiladi. After these, really, we'll call them dots on the radar screen in terms of the history we are given, we get back into, unfortunately, the cycle. It says that Israel continued to serve all, the Canaanite gods, the Baal, the Ashtar, all the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Ammon, Moab, all the places that they did. And it says Hashem got angry and sold them to the hands of the Ammonites. This is a new nation we haven't spent time with too much up till now. We've met the Moabites, now the Ammonites again, Transjordan down south. And they control us for 18 years, and they really, spread out their net across all of central Israel and East Bank. And Israel calls out to God. And now, at this point in time, you and me and everybody is probably thinking, isn't this enough? Like, meaning, how long does this go on that we just keep losing it? Do we just keep reverting back? And at this point in time, Hashem says the same thing. Hashem says, "Vayomer Hashem b'nei Yisrael, halam im Mitzrayim im min Amorim im b'nei Amon im min Aplishtim im Tzidon im Amalekum v'anu lochatzu eschem." All these nations have already oppressed you, and you called out, and I saved you, and you still leave me, you still forsake me. So Hashem says, he puts it very clear in their face. He says, "Lo yosif lo yishi eschem. I'm not going to save you anymore. Lechu zaku elohe Elohim asher bechartim bom. Go call out to those gods you chose. Heimo yoshiyeu lochem be'es tzaraschem. Enjoy, see if they save you." And at this point in time, Israel says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're right. And they admit full-heartedly about what they did. And it says about a very sad pasuk, "Vatikzar nafshei ba'amal Yisrael." God's spirit, so to speak, was shortened by the Amal Yisrael, by the pain of Israel. That means to say that there's a certain lessening of Hashem's willingness to work on their behalf. To help them. And we're going to actually notice this as we move onwards now, that the Shoftim we're going to encounter now on inwards are going to be lesser Shoftim than the Shoftim we've encountered up to now. We're devolving into anarchy right now. And so we're told in the very last part of the Perek that the Ammonites now lay siege to the city of Gilad, and all of Israel now summon an army together to try to fight these Ammonites. And everybody starts saying to each other, who's going to be the next leader? Who's going to be the person who's going to lead us for all Yoshve Gilad? A few things just to notice, interestingly enough, is why Gilad out of all the cities? Gilad, of course, is in the area of Menashe on the east bank Jordan, where Jordan is, around the area of Amman today. Why is it that Gilad is a city which is being encamped upon? So the first thing which you notice is that it's right near the nation of Ammon, right? So the nation of Ammon is on east bank Jordan, so it makes sense that they're besieging it. That's on the one hand. But on the other hand, the Malbim points out that there is an aspect of Hashkacha that's to be found over here, and that is that because they're on the, up till now they were controlling Israel for 18 years in Israel Central, the fact that they shifted their military moment to the east is actually a reprieve which allows them to gather their forces and be able to fight back in a certain way. So in the darkness there is an element of Hashkacha as well. And this last question of who's going to be our leader leads us directly into the next perek as we meet our next Shafet. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.